I've titled our message this morning, Building Up the Body of Christ. Building Up the Body of Christ. Last week, we saw that each of us has a spiritual gift that we're to use for the Lord. In the first six verses of chapter 4, Paul really emphasized unity that we have in the Lord. Verses 4, 5, and 6 show us the unity that we have in Christ. And as Paul's instructing these believers in Ephesus, the same instruction is important for us as well today, that we would be unified as a body of Christ, that we would be serving Him in that spirit of unity. In verse 7, we looked last week at verses 7 through 11, and we saw the diversity of the gifts that God has given to us. So we saw the unity contrasted with the diversity that builds up the unity of the body of Christ. And as we use our gifts for the Lord, unity in Christ will be strengthened together. We saw last week as we looked at those verses 8 and 9, that Christ has won the victory over sin, death, and the grave, and now has given those gifts. In verse 11, let's look at that together. He said, and He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. We saw that God has given the gifts of these people to the church. And we looked at those individually last time we were together. We saw the foundation was built on the apostles and prophets. And that now today God is using evangelists and pastors to build or equip His church for ministry. And God uses those people to help us to be equipped to function in the specific gift that He has given to us individually to build up the body of Christ. I don't know if you had a favorite toy when you were little. One favorite toy that I had was Lincoln Logs. And how many had Lincoln Logs when they were little? Okay, I'm not alone. All right. And I've actually wanted to get some of these for our kids, but they're so expensive when you look at them at the store. But I really enjoyed my Lincoln Logs. Building a house or building a garage with those was fascinating to me. And to try to put a window in or a door in, it required a proper structural system as you put them on top of each other so that it didn't cave in or the piece wasn't missing. And so it is with the church, that God desires and needs to use every believer to make the body of Christ function as it should properly. When one piece is missing, the whole body suffers. And so this morning, as we look at this section here in verses 12 through 16, we'll see that God desires every believer to be a part of that process of building up the body of Christ. Jesus gave us a promise in Matthew 16, verse 18. He said, He will build His church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And that's a great encouragement to us as believers, and especially to pastors and those in full-time ministry, to know that it is God's process, it is His doing, that there's nothing that's going to stop the accomplishment of what God has called to happen here in the building of His church. Here in Ephesians 4, we see how God intends to accomplish ministry. We'll see this morning what a spiritually healthy church looks like, and how each of us should function in that body of Christ. And so let's begin reading here at verse 12. He says, "For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." I want us to note, first of all, in verse 12, God's manner of building the body of Christ. God's manner of building the body of Christ. We have here the unfolding of God's plan to accomplish His ministry. We see at verse 11 connected with verse 12 that He uses the ministry of pastors and teachers and evangelists to build up the body of Christ. And He says for three things, and we really see it in kind of a cycle. First of all, this process is for the perfecting of the saints. That word perfecting, we've looked at before. It doesn't mean that it is without flaw, but instead it carries the idea of restoring or making it complete. And so as God has given these people to the church to minister the word of God to people, He is doing so that they can be restored, or they can be growing and be fit for the service that God has given to them. A pastor constantly has on his heart the desire to lead people further away from the things of this world, further away from the things of sin, and closer to the Lord. And that process is happening in his own life, and he's seeking to lead others to a closer walk with the Lord as well. We know that the Word of God is quick and powerful, that will change lives, that the God uses the Holy Spirit to open our eyes to understanding the truth of God's Word, to then change the lives of God's people. We read in Acts chapter 6 that they called for the deacon so that the pastor could give himself to the ministry of prayer and the Word of God. And that should be the primary focus of the pastor, that he would give himself to prayer and to the ministry of the Word to equip the believers to be fully fit and used for his glory. And so that's the primary focus of the pastor, should be the primary focus, to spend time in the Word of God, to be equipped and to be growing himself so that he can equip and seek to have growth in the lives of those believers that are in his fold. And so as we strive together for the Lord, that should be the intent of each of our hearts. Lord, help me to grow closer to you in the truth of your Word. As God's Word is open, may I grow closer to him and understand further what he wants from my life. So he says the first part of the process is for the perfecting of the saints. Notice the second, in the middle of the verse, he says, for the work of the ministry. This is the idea of service, that as the body of Christ is built up in their faith, then naturally outflow should be service from the lives of God's people. You know, it's far beyond the ability or capacity of one or two or even three or four people to carry the load of the ministry of the local church. It takes a group effort. It takes every person striving to help and to assist in God's work. Just last week, as we were at the men's conference, it was interesting that the speaker was speaking on unity in the church, and that was really on my heart as we had looked at the first part of Ephesians chapter 4. And as he was talking about each believer being a part of the ministry, he said that there is right now that the statistic is that 80% of the work in local churches is done by 20% of the people. And those are staggering numbers when you really look at that. And certainly, as I was thinking about our ministry, I think we have a lot of people serving in a lot of different capacities. I'm very thankful for that. Many are willing to do things and to be a part of the ministry here and to serve in any way that they can. But there's also certainly the other side, that there are some that perhaps could do more or are really not serving in any capacity. And there are always needs in the lives in the local church context here. There are needs from great to small that need to be accomplished. We have regular needs to clean the building, to make sure that we have adequate staff in the nursery, to teaching classes, to all kinds of different ministries that unfold. And God's people, each one should be involved actively in the ministry of the local church. Are you contributing to the local church? Paul said it's an emphasis here that it is for the work of the ministry to be accomplished, that every believer should be involved in serving the Lord. You know, as we meet as deacons and myself, that's always a concern in our hearts, is how we can strive to get each person involved in the ministry. And that's our desire. That's our intent. And as we announce needs that we have here in the ministry, take that as a personal invitation for you to pray that maybe the Lord would have you fill that spot. That as we have needs that unfold, we would be aware of those and seek to step right in and fill those spots that are needed. Notice the third part of the process, the end of verse 12. He says, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Really speaks of the result of what happens here. The pastor is equipping the believers through the Word of God. Each person's involved in the ministry of serving for the work of the ministry. And he says, the end of verse 12, for the edifying or the building up of the body of Christ. It speaks of internal building. That each one that's in the fold of this local assembly would be growing spiritually themselves, would be serving themselves. And as that happens, the process will begin to grow in the local church. It's not speaking so much specifically of numerical growth, but spiritual growth. That there should be a maturity coming about of God's people. That it should outflow from their lives. As they're fed the Word of God, they should be then motivated to serve the Lord. And in the process, the body of Christ is built up. The body of Christ is sustained and it's maturing in its life in Christ. This process runs full circle. We're equipped, we serve, and we're built up. And then again, we're equipped, we're serving, and we're built up. And so as we consider this context here of what Paul is saying, he's emphasizing that every person is needed in the ministry. That this is God's intent, this is God's plan for each person to be involved in some capacity in the building up of the body of Christ. You know, if you're growing spiritually, you will have a desire to serve. And so that's my intent, that we would be equipping us to grow spiritually, because that service will naturally come from the heart that's growing in the Lord. You know, it's easy to just sit and to soak. It's easy to just hear the Word of God or to be fed the Word of God. But that's a dangerous spot to be in. Instead, we're to sit and to serve. We're to grow and equip ourselves to serve and be used of the Lord. And so Paul's emphasis of God's plan here is very clear, that in the process of building God's church, it's involved with equipping, serving, and edifying of God's people. Let's look secondly together at God's intentions of building the body of Christ. God's intentions of building the body of Christ. Notice verse 13. He says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. We see here in these verses God's intentions in building up the body of Christ, or the results that become visible as the body of Christ is built up. And you notice the first thing in verse 13, the first visible result is spiritual unity. Notice again verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Paul says, here's what a spiritually healthy church looks like. There is spiritual unity amongst God's people. Now, what is Paul saying specifically as we look at that phrase, unity of the faith? Paul is saying that there is a unity around the core doctrines of the Word of God, around the faith that we have that is one in Christ. You notice, look back at verse 5. He says, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. That we should have core foundational truths that each of us holds to. That as we look at those core truths in Scripture, each of us would say, yes, that is true. The Word of God says that. We believe it and we practice it. That these are foundational things that we find in the Word of God that we would not compromise on. That we would say, no, we're going to hold fast to those truths because we find them in the Word of God. Now, does that mean we'll see eye to eye on everything? No, it doesn't. It doesn't mean that all the little outflow of those doctrines is going to look exactly the same. because then it would shortchange the diversity that Paul had mentioned here in the body of Christ in this context. But it does mean that together in unity, we hold to these truths that are found in the Word of God. Notice further, he says spiritual unity comes from the middle of verse 13, the knowledge of the Son of God. That a spiritually mature church has believers who possess a vibrant, faithful walk with the Lord. It means that as God's people come there to church, they're ready to worship the Lord because they've had a faithful walking with the Lord all week long. And you say, well, what do you mean by that, Pastor? Well, as we're looking at the context of a local church, if we're edifying and building one up and we're serving, that cannot take place by just being fed a couple of times throughout the week. Instead, the entire week should be a close walk with the Lord individually. And as we come to church on Sunday to worship the Lord, it should be the outflow of our hearts of the relationship that we've had with the Lord from this previous week. Do you possess a personal, vibrant walk with the Lord? You know, when you're walking with the Lord and you're growing closer to Him, as you come to church, you're thrilled at the chance to worship Him. You're thrilled to stand up and sing out and sing praises to the Lord. It says it on your face. It says it in your heart as you sincerely sing from your heart. A personal, vibrant walk with the Lord will show itself in your service. There won't be a matter of, do I have to do something? No, you want to do something because in the context you recognize we're doing this for the Lord. That this is service and sacrifice that the Lord wants from my life. That it's a humble spirit to say, Lord, help me to be used of You. That's what a personal knowledge or walk with the Lord really entails. Jesus said in John 10, verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And that's an important verse for us to take as well, that He not only knows us, but we are following Him. That when He speaks to us, we're ready to serve Him. And hopefully, this body of Christ is made up of people who are vibrantly, personally walking with the Lord. You know, every time we hear the Word of God, we should grow spiritually. I remember a pastor that we had in South Carolina at the church that we went to, and I remember him taking at least a whole message to just get across the point that believers grow. And he said, just as we take in oxygen, so it should be with believers, that believers should grow. It should be a natural process in the life of a believer. And as we hear the Word of God, we should grow spiritually. That as we come to hear God's Word through messages, or we hear a message on the radio, or as we study God's Word, that we should come with the intent that you are going to grow, that God wants each of us to grow. Even as we've heard maybe messages on passages before, there's still something to grow and to gain from that passage. We looked at that a little bit last Sunday night as we looked at the why of Bible study. That each of us has the inspired Word of God, and it is profitable every time we open the truth of God's Word. And so sometimes, as believers, we mistakenly fall into the trap of praying this prayer. Lord, help me to get something out of the message. And we fall into that trap instead of coming and saying, Lord, I'm ready to take something from Your Word today and to live it out in my life. Notice the end of verse 13. He says that this spiritual unity and knowledge of the Son of God is unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. He says that we will begin to show this change that's taking place in our life to those outside that do not know Christ as Savior. We will not be perfect this side of heaven, but we're seeking to be more like Him and to show those around us what God has done in our lives. You know, this happens in very practical, simple ways. As you interact with people through business throughout the week or through opportunities with your neighbors or different ones that you come in contact with, to speak of what the Lord has done in your life or to just show them the change that Christ has made. And they begin to ask questions and they recognize that there's something different about that person because you're growing closer to the Lord. You know, why would the world want to have anything to do with people who are not different? We should be different than those people that they know around them because they're lost. But as believers, we should show a difference in our life because of what Christ has done for us. There should be a difference in our speech. The world should not look in and see gossip or bickering or a discontented attitude. Because we should be different than the world. We should be an example of the believers. And instead, quite often, we allow the same old tendencies, the same old flesh to come into into our lives when we're not walking with the Lord. And we begin living a life that's just the same thing of what they're seeing in the next person. And so even in our workplace or in our family, they perhaps will see the only testimony for the Lord through the lives that we are living. And so as we seek to grow to be like Him, those things should be put off. We should put off those things that the world lives out daily in their lives. He says the first characteristic is spiritual unity. Notice the second one, verse 14, spiritual discernment. Verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Paul says another mark of a spiritually healthy church is that the believers will have spiritual discernment. There should be spiritual wisdom in the midst of God's people. That as we spend a lifetime of searching the Scriptures, our roots should get deeper. We should be even more grounded in the truth of the Word of God. You notice there in the middle of verse 14, he says that we would not be tossed about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness. It's kind of an interesting phrase as you look at the sleight of men and cunning craftiness. It carries this idea. It's the idea of gambling. It's somebody who has a smooth hand and you can't tell what they're doing. They're deceptive in how they do it. And Paul is saying, beware of those that would be deceptive and look like they're spiritual or look like they're teaching the truth of God's word, but they have a sleight of hand and they're leading you astray. There is so much that the believer today needs to be mindful of out in the world. Not talking about worldly things, but things that are spiritual. That we should be cautious about what we read, because those things can lead us astray if they're not rooted and grounded in the Word of God. The things that we hear on the radio, if there's a message that we hear, to make sure, is it in line with the Word of God? Is that what God's Word is saying? To have spiritual discernment to what we listen to. To have spiritual discernment about what we watch, that, you know, maybe there's somebody that we watch on TV and we think highly of, but be discerning. Are they holding to the truth of God's word? Are they leading us astray from our walk with Him? And so Paul says a spiritually mature or healthy church has people that are filled with spiritual discernment. Is that true in your life? Do you have discernment as you read things? As you listen to things, as you watch things, to make sure that you're not influenced by someone or something that's going to lead you away from the Word of God. To make sure that they're not going to take you down a path that would get you caught up in something that isn't doctrinally sound or isn't true to the Word of God. We have to be so careful and we have to guard ourselves in these areas of our life. You know, if there's something that's not true to the Word of God, we shouldn't partake in it. We should separate ourselves from it. If they're leading us down a narrow path that something in your mind and your heart says there's a red flag here, then you better go to God's Word and by His Spirit have discernment and search the Scriptures and the truth. He says the spiritually healthy church has spiritual unity, spiritual discernment. Number 3, verse 15, spiritual love. Notice verse 15. He says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. He says, in addition to having spiritual discernment, there should be biblical love from your hearts. This is a wonderful unity of these two truths. We have the truth that we hold to, coupled with the love of Christ in our lives coming together. Truth and love together. Sharing the gospel is most effective when we do it in a loving way, when we have genuine concern for the other person, not just taking the truth and beating them with it or shoving it down their throat, but in genuine love, sharing the Word of God with them, sharing a tract or sharing your testimony in love because you have concern and compassion for their lost soul. Spiritually edifying one another in love. To recognize that this is important as well. Not only should the local church be possessed of believers who demonstrate the love of Christ to those who are lost, but there should be love within the body of Christ as well. That we would genuinely care for the needs and have compassion for those around us. I think as a church we certainly do have a number of people that are very concerned. Anytime there's needs that come up, that people outpour their love for one another. And that speaks volumes of what's going on spiritually in the lives of God's people. Because we grasp the idea that there should be love one towards another because of what Christ has done for us. I just want to admonish us to continue that. To make sure that we don't allow things to take us away from that being our center focus, to love those in the body of Christ, because it can very quickly turn away from the Lord. We see, first of all, God's manner of building the body of Christ. Secondly, God's intentions or the results of building up the body of Christ. I want us to look thirdly together at God's enablement of building the body of Christ. God's enablement of building the body of Christ. We're going to begin in the last half of verse 15 and then verse 16. He says at the end of verse 15, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. It's interesting as you look at this passage that God has given pastor teachers, He's given evangelists to build up the body of Christ, to do the three things that are mentioned in verse 12. And He says out of that flows these results that we saw in verses 13, 14, and 15. And now as you come to the last part of verse 15 and verse 16, He says, and here's how He's going to enable us to accomplish that work. And He says it begins, notice the end of verse 15, by Christ being the head of all things. That He is the source of the power that we need to have this function properly. What a beautiful thing to look at the local church here is what Paul is speaking of, to see that the body of Christ is going to be built up if we do it according to God's plan, and He will enable us to do it. He said Christ is the head. We are the bride of Christ. We are the body, each part playing a role in that body. You know, if you ever look at babies, I think one thing that's always interesting as you look at them is that oftentimes their head is much larger than the rest of their body. And it's fun to see that when you try to put their shirts on over their head. It's trying to get it over that big head to get that shirt on. And it's fun to see them kind of grow, their body grow into the size of their head. you know, as they get a little bit older, it proportions out much better, and it's fun to see them grow. And maybe you don't recognize it until you look back at pictures and you see, wow, look at that comparison to a few months ago. But what Paul is saying here is that same idea, that the body of Christ should be growing in proportion to the head, which is Christ. That each of us should be growing spiritually, and we should be developing the body of Christ, being fit in all of these areas with Christ as the head. That the body would be in proportion to the leading of Christ, to the body of Christ. So God is looking for individuals who are willing to obey Him and to serve Him. That the body is only functioning as each of us uses our gifts that God has given to us. Notice again verse 16. He says, the whole body fitly joined together, compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the working in the measure of every part, makes the increase of the body to the edifying of itself in love. That's exactly what Paul's saying in verse 16, that the body of Christ becomes fit. They're actively serving. They're being built up in the faith. They're exercising the abilities and spiritual gifts that God has given to them. And they're building up the body of Christ as God has intended. You know, the local church is designed to not only be a blessing to you, but for you to be a blessing to that local church as well. You know, that changes your perspective, doesn't it? When you come into church to realize, not only do I need God's word and God's people to minister to me, but God wants to use me to minister and to build up other believers in the body of Christ. You know, what a wonderful opportunity we have in this local church, because of the size of this church, to do that, to be built up as we come to hear the word of God, but then also to build other people up, to encourage other people, to strengthen other people in their walk with the Lord. An isolated Christian cannot minister to others or be ministered to. You know, you can't grow in the Lord if you're just going to pull out and be your own person. We grow as we come in the body of Christ. We thrive as we grow under the Word of God, and then we're serving and we're being faithful to Him. And God says He wants to enable us to do that. He wants us to be built up in the body of Christ. I think of what Paul said in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. We have Christ as the head, and each of us should be built up in serving and being faithful as the body of Christ. God's given us everything we need for us to grow spiritually, for us to grow according to His plan. And so the question comes, are you part of that growing and serving process? Are you reaching out and helping other people? Are you growing in your faith and in your walk with the Lord in a vibrant relationship with Him? I think it was the first or second Sunday of this year I had challenged us to take someone or to take a family and to really pour your life into that person or that family. Are you doing that? Is that part of your life? Are you taking one or two or a family under your wings and trying to build them up and encourage them? Just trying to spend some time and encourage them in the Lord? Are you seeking to minister to them or to reach that one that needs to be drawn a little bit closer to the Lord? It takes effort. It takes sacrifice. It takes dependency upon the Word of God and His Spirit. But, oh, the spiritual fruit that we will reap when we give ourselves to be used in the Lord's service. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for this rich passage that reminds us of Your plan, of Your enablement, of the results that we see of a body of Christ who is healthy and growing in You. Oh, Lord, how we pray that each one of us would grow in our walk with you. We pray that this morning, if there's areas that you've convicted us, that we would change, that we would repent, that you would help us to be mindful of our own walk and to be mindful of ministering to those around us to build up the body of Christ. And we pray that we would respond in obedience and submission to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.